This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Monday, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right for a short week. Such a BS week. It's just such a BS J-O-F-O week. That's what you do this week before Thanksgiving, man. We're suckers. We're suckers for even being here today, and I'll tell you. We are suckers. We're suckers for the tier ones out there. And we'd like to keep your routine the same. So we will be here this week. Thanks for being here with us. I'm Woodsy. To my right is Italian Paul, a.k.a. Frank Marchese, a.k.a. Skinny Frank. The dude has lost 67 pounds or something, 63 pounds, and is looking lithe and lean. And just, you look fantastic, buddy. Welcome in.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me this week.
It is our pleasure. I like the mafia name of Skinny Frank. Oh, Skinny Frank from down on, down on Kearney Mesa Ave. Skinny Frank. You like that name better than Italian Paul?
Wouldn't it be Fat Frank, though, since typically it's the skinny guy who's called Fat?
That's true.
Yeah, that's
they
true.
They go opposites.
That's
oftentimes.
True. They do. Fat. I don't like Fat Frank.
It's
I like Skinny
alliteration,
Frank.
But
yeah. If you were bigger, they would have called you Skinny Frank.
Yeah,
but I like Skinny Frank now. But Italian Paul works well. Paulie Reindl is in. He's heading to Las Vegas today. It is his wife Megan's 40th birthday. I don't know if I was supposed to say the age, but sorry about that. Yeah, delete that. Dump that. It's her birthday. Happy birthday, Megan. We love you, and I hope you guys have a great time. Well deserved, certainly. Paulie doesn't take a hell of a lot of time off, so I want him to really enjoy himself. To my left is my partner, Benjamin R. Higgins, friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. I want to grab onto that comment you said about this week being full of it, because it certainly depends on your kind of employment. Whatever,
true.
You know, whatever you do. Like, if you're a paramedic.
Yeah, this is just a normal week for you.
It's a normal week, or even probably a busier week, because you've got all the family emergencies that happen during the holidays, and, you know, turkeys that catch on fire in ovens, and people who eat too much and have medical emergencies. It's probably a huge work week. If you're probably in sales in an office, you know, I'm not closing any business these 3 days before Thanksgiving, and everybody's pretty much taking it off. You're only half working anyway if you're even there in the office. For us, it's kind of in the middle. I mean, you know, they consider the holidays a kind of a sports time of the year. But for us, you know, we're outside of baseball season. Paulie's not here. So it does feel a little bit like a fake kind of week here. We will be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then, of course, off Thursday and Friday for the Thanksgiving holiday. But, you know, everybody's different. We can't all get on the same page when it comes to work schedules.
Yeah, it's true. And I was speaking for myself and for us. And pretty much my entire life since I graduated college, I was in sales. And so this week, I was talking to a buddy of mine yesterday who works for a golf magazine in Dallas, and was telling him about our weekend. We went out to the Wishbone Brawl together, me, Ben, Paul, and my dad. And we got to watch Kelly Slater and Bill Murray play golf. We got to see our pal John Ashworth, who's the caretaker of Goat Hill. If you haven't played golf at Goat Hill in Oceanside, couldn't recommend a place more. It will absolutely kick your teeth in, but it is a beautiful course, and they take such good care of it. And they do this charity event every year. And we got to go out there and hang out, and ran into a ton of tier ones out there. Ran into the guys with this hat that I'm wearing right now. It says Strictly Business on it. And the brand, I'd never heard of it before. It's called Melon, M-E-L-I-N. And he is a big listener and said, hey, I want to give you guys some Melon gear. And I said, man, I love this hat. Now, Frankie noticed right away, who does this belong? This is it's a NASCAR branded hat.
Yeah. Mellow Yellow.
Yeah.
By, you said John Hunter Nemechek,
yep,
right?
Yep, John Hunter Nemechek. I don't know who that is, but this is his, like, brand. It's a Strictly Business. Now, I saw it. It spoke to me, and I said, I got to have that hat. And so, but it was cool, man. We got to go out there and hang out. One of those weird, I wouldn't even say like bucket list ideas, but or events, but one of those things that happened to me and I go, well, that's weird and that'll never happen again. And I don't know how many people that's happened to, but we were obviously pretty excited to see Bill Murray. Like, Kelly Slater got out of his car. Let me back up for a second. We get to Goat Hill about an hour before tee time, right? So all the celebrities are teeing off at noon. We get there at about 11, 11:15. And we see our pal John Ashworth, who runs it. And I put my arm around him. I go, how you doing? He goes, I'm good. I'm sweating it. I go, why are you sweating? He goes, well, two people haven't showed up yet. And I go, let me guess which two. Kelly Slater and Bill Murray. He goes, yep. And I go, oh, God. And he had talked about this when we had him on a couple weeks ago. And I said, that would make me sick to my stomach. He goes, yeah, I'm a little nervous. And you can see him kind of peering out into the parking lot, right? Well, Kelly comes in, backs up. Kelly Slater gets out of his car. And you look over, and your first reaction is, you son of a bitch. You son of a bitch. Look at you. Pants fit perfectly. Shirt molded around his big biceps. Tan. Handsome as all get out, right? Put together, right, Benny?
Yeah, and Kelly is... you know, he's got that whatever goats have, you know, the Jordan, the Tom Brady. When he wants to be good at something, he needs to be the best at it.
Yeah.
So he's a really good golfer because he puts the work into it. I mean, obviously, he's an 11-time world champion surfer. He's the goat in his sport at surfing, but he's a pretty good golfer as well. He takes it seriously when he comes out there. He's just ultra competitive, just like Jordan was, just like Kobe, just like Tom Brady. If they're going to compete, they want to win, and he wanted to win this thing. You know, once he was in it, he wanted to win it,
no question. Yeah. And to watch him go out and then start striping balls on the range, you're like, bro, you're great at surfing, you're really, really good at golf. Like, he plays guitar with Eddie Vedder, and he's so handsome, and you look at him and you go, it's like God looked down and was like, ah, we got a bunch of extra stuff, just give it to that one guy. I've made all these turds, and I got this extra. Let me just mold like one perfect human, right? So Kelly Slater gets out, and Ashworth is breathing a little bit easier. We're still waiting on Bill Murray, and they've already started the all right, welcome everybody to Goat Hill. They're introducing the other golfers. No Bill Murray. And Ashy's sitting out by the parking lot, and he's just looking in the parking lot, waiting for the car to drive up. Sure enough, man, car pulls up, the door opens, and out steps Bill Murray, Ernie McCracken, right from Kingpin. What About Bob? All these movies that I have adored.
Carl.
Yeah, Carl Spackler. All of these.
Professor Venkman.
Yes. Yeah, Peter Venkman. All of these legendary characters. And to see him up close and personal was, I don't really get starstruck much anymore because we get to meet a lot of cool people. That one, I was like,
He's taller than I thought.
He is. He looks for 74 years old, man.
Yeah, are you supposed to say that or do we need to dump that?
He looked fantastic. So we followed him over. We watched him hit some balls. Then he goes to the first tee. And I'm a foot from him. I'm right behind him. And he turns around and he looks at the guy next to me and goes, you need some sunscreen? And the guy goes, sure. He reaches into his bag, takes some sunscreen out and sprays him. And I go, do you have any more? And he goes, yeah. And sprays me down. Sprays me down with sunscreen.
And then gets Paulie.
So he looked at Paulie. He goes, you are pale. And just gets Paulie. gets Paulie too. It was so, so trippy. Steve says, was there a visible aura around Bill? Yes. Yeah, Bill Murray has the thing. He's got that thing. A girl had a sign that said, it was a bright yellow poster board, and it said, my dream is to be hugged by Bill Murray. As he was walking down to the tee box, he noticed the sign, didn't break stride, picked her up, gave her a big hug, turned around, and just kept walking. And it was like seeing a beetle. He's just got that thing. He's got it. And it was so cool.
So the first hole at the Goat is a par 4, and they're playing a scramble. So they're out in the fairway. And if you know golf, they've got like 50, 60 yards in, which is one of the diciest little shots in golf. And you're going,
the worst.
And now he's got to do this in front of him. And there's like 1,000 people that are all around this hole watching. And I'm thinking, I mean, he barely got here in time to warm up. This is like the nightmare shot. You hit a skull, you're going to kill someone. It's going to, you know, line right into someone's forehead. Bill Murray, with just a touch of class, knocks it inside of the leather for a knock-in birdie to start his round. I go, okay.
It's unbelievable.
He's a serious golfer. You stayed for a few holes. On 7, he rolled in like a 40-footer
for birdie. I saw that on Twitter.
Everybody went crazy. And, you know, I left after the front 9. But I heard from our buddy Matty Ginella. Afterwards, he stayed almost 2 hours signing autographs. Kelly Slater stayed even longer. I mean, he was there for hours afterwards, both supporting the GOAT, North County Junior Golf Association, and the Caddy and Leadership Academy, which was pretty incredible for both of those guys to do that. Not, you know, they didn't get paid at all for that.
No.
They just came to support John and the good charitable causes. So it was a really cool day on Saturday.
Yeah, it's the Wishbone Brawl. And actually, so if you're listening right now and you want to play golf with me or Ben or Paul, you can go bid on a chance to do that. We did it last year to help them raise money. You can go in and place your bid. What is the website?
Go to goathillpark.com, okay. And then look for the link for the auction. It's open, I think, until like December 10th or something.
Yeah, so if you ever wanted to play golf with us,
be ready to scroll down. There's a lot of items, you know, Xander Schauffele signed merch. You go near the bottom, I think you'll find the Ben and Woods experience to play golf with the three of us.
We had a lot of fun doing it last year. It's just, I mean, look, I'm not good. If you're going to bid, let's be honest, play with Ben. He's a better golfer.
If
you want to have fun, play with me or Paul.
Play with Woods. And if you want to get all the real dirt on the show,
play with Paul. Yeah,
so
that's right.
There's your three choices.
Man, it was a really, really fun, fun day. And you know, anytime we get to hang out together as a show is always fun, too. So we had some fun, met some tier ones out there. Got this lid. I was very happy about this lid. Strictly business. I like it. So.
I got one too. It was just plain beige, which I think
Ben had the funniest line, Italian Paul, of all time. We're looking through all the hats, and they're up there, and Mellon's got a bunch of different options and a bunch of different sizes. And it's tough to find a hat that fits Ben's head. And so he goes, Woodsy, tell me which one. So we try. I go, no, that's not it. No, that's not it. No, okay, that's the right model. He goes, well, what color should I get? And I go, maybe black? He goes, I'm really feeling this beige one. And I said, oh, yeah, that looks good. And he goes, that's pretty much what my aura is. That's the color of my aura is beige. And I fell out laughing. I go, you know what, dude? I don't know that you've ever been more right. You hear about people when you see, you know, people would always say about Prince, purple.
Purple
aura. Somebody walks in, they have this orange aura around them. I don't know that I have one. Ben goes, if I do, it's 100% beige. And I said, I think you've nailed that. I think you've nailed that entirely.
And I think beige is an important color in the spectrum. You know, some of us need to be beige out there. We can't all be neon pink. We can't all be electric blue. There's got to be some beige people out there to make the world go around.
It just fit so well. But listen, you guys know the drill this week. It's going to be loose. We're going to have some fun. And we're going to talk some baseball. There's already been a free agent signing this morning, which is pretty insane. Wanted to wish Jake Waters, who's in our chat, a very happy 49th birthday. Buddy, strap
Welcome
in.
Welcome to the club.
Welcome to the club. The midlife crisis will hit.
Do we need to dump that?
No, he put it in the chat. Jake, get ready. You're going to start wanting to get some tattoos or bleach your hair any day. 49 is really the midlife crisis bit.
Or you're going to lean into your beige.
Or lean into your beige.
One of the two. We both go our own directions at 49.
That is true. That is true.
All right, we will set the menu coming up next for the short week and the regular show here on a Monday. Get to all the baseball news, the football news as well coming up. First check of traffic. I believe Kelly Danik is still with us this week, and then we'll be right back. Ben Woods, Italian Paul Frank Marchese.
There he is. Sorry, I've been watching a lot of Sopranos, so you're really, really in for it this
on
week.
San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey friends, I'm Sharon McMahon, host of Here's Where It Gets Interesting. Each week, I speak with authors, experts, and thought leaders on everything from American history and democracy to how to be a better person on the internet. And don't miss my extremely popular docuseries, which educate you on things you never learned in history class. Follow and listen to Here's Where It Gets Interesting on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One other note from the Wishbone Brawl on Saturday before we get going. I almost saw something I have never seen in person on a golf course.
My heart.
And And the Wishbone Brawling is known for these moments. I mean, they've had a couple of holes in one in the past, and this is only the seventh edition of it. So, you know, you're playing seven times, you wouldn't expect to see that. But one of the participants was Chris Riley, San Diegan, former Ryder Cupper, PGA Tour player, who's gearing up for a Champions Tour run. He's 51 years old now. Dump that, Frankie.
They won, right?
They did win, yeah. He was, and his game is sharp right now. I'll tell you what, Chris Riley, he might be a Senior Tour, Champions Tour player to watch in the future if he plays like he does. But the third hole at Goat Hill, which is, you know, again, shorter course, 300-yard par 4. But remember, they're all using the old persimmon woods, the woods you grew up playing like with in the 70s that are not these high-tech. They have tiny little club heads where, you know, you'd probably whiff if you tried to swing one of those today if you're used to playing a giant AI smoke driver from Callaway like I do. And on the third hole, we're standing up by the green. It's like a 300-yard hole. And Riley hits his persimmon wood, draws it up there. It lands probably 30 yards in front of the green. So he's carried it like 260. And it hops forward and just bounces straight toward the green. And all of a sudden, I'm going, this has a chance. This is tracking straight toward the pin. And I'm going, this could be a hole-in-one, par-4, double eagle. I've never seen it in person in my life. And it just continues to go toward the hole at pretty good pace. It's not like it's cooking. And it gets right to the pin, and it hits the pin. And I'm going, it's going in. And it just trickled off to the left side for about 2 feet, like a tap-in eagle. And it was almost a hole-in-one on a par-4.
It was unreal. I mean, we were all standing right there losing our minds. It was a really fun day, man. Beautiful. The weather was perfect. The course is in fantastic shape. And, again, Goat Hill Park, man, you get that idea. Maybe you're not a golfer. Maybe you want to get into golf. It's a great place to start because it's not your typical stuffy, it's not filled with a bunch of golf DBs. And there's plenty of us out there for sure, myself being one of them. That place is different. There's a spiritualness to it. There's an aura to it. And it's not beige. No. It's not beige. Green. It's like a green aura at Goat Hill. It's a really special place.
Frankie has put the official link to that auction in the chat if you want to bid on the opportunity to play golf with me, Woods, or Paul, or any of the other merchandise, signed memorabilia experiences they have at the website. There's the direct link now with the stars. Looks good. It's a attention grabber in our YouTube chat right now. All right, coming up on the program today, we'll set the menu. As you mentioned, I'll tease it again. Already had a signing in Major League Baseball this morning. We'll talk a little bit about what happened over the weekend. The Padres did make a few moves, as they had to, as every team had to. We have lots of free agents now in Major League Baseball that were let go by their teams. Now, none of them are, you know, super exciting names, but there's a couple of names out there that did surprise on Friday when teams didn't tender them contracts. And we can talk about what's new in Major League Baseball as we get a little bit closer to baseball's winter meetings. What are we about? 2 weeks. So I think 2 weeks from today, they get started in Dallas, and then we'll probably see the offseason kick into the next gear, whatever that looks like. You know, I would imagine the Juan Soto signing is really what everyone's still waiting for, but the winter meetings tend to get the ball rolling, except for the one team that continues to be the most active in Major League Baseball, and we will get to that coming up in our next segment. We also have a lot of football to talk about at 7 o'clock hour. Want to get into the weekend of college football. Another rough performance for Sean Lewis' San Diego State Aztecs on Saturday. I didn't really watch the game. I just kind of followed along and go, oh, they're doing well. Oh, they're doing really poorly now.
Oh, they're way, way out of it at this point. Yeah.
How did that happen? I swear, I was looking at the score and I go, oh, they're up 13-0. Good for them. And then I looked again about an hour later and they were down 41-13. And I went, what the heck happened? I mean, what could have possibly happened?
I'm going to tell you,
in a game like that.
Some of the Aztecs fans that I follow, the natives, they are very restless right now. They are very, very restless. They are very, I'd say, I think embarrassed is the right word right now. And again, man, anytime you feel like things are going to change, when you feel it, we all had that kind of scene with Bob Melvin, right? When Bob Melvin came in his first year, we're like, this is what we needed. And sure enough, what happens? We go to the NLCS. You're like, all right, this is something to build on. We're definitely going to kick some ass next year. And when it doesn't happen, you have this like feeling of almost embarrassment. You're like, how did I ever ride for this guy? And I'm seeing a lot of Aztecs fans right now going, did we get duped entirely by this whole scene out on the Mesa? So it's tough, man.
We'll talk some college football. And then in the NFL yesterday, I didn't watch a ton, but I usually turn the red zone on, especially around 12:15 to 1:15. They call it the witching hour on red zone when, you know, wins become losses and losses become wins. And, you know, Scott Hansen goes through his whole spiel. It's the witching hour. You know, you get into the fourth quarter of the final games and we've got 6 one-score games that could go either way. And it's like, all right, you got your hooks in me. I can't get away from the television for at least this next hour until the morning games all wrap up. And what a witching hour it was yesterday with just some of the most unbelievable happenings and endings in the National Football League yesterday. The Cowboys and the Commanders, the Bears and the Vikings. You had some wild stuff going on yesterday in the NFL Woods.
Yeah, some really, really good games. College football for me was the pinnacle this weekend. It was chaos. It was everything that you wanted, depending on who you root for. It was everything that you wanted, and if you rooted for one of those teams, I mean, you saw some dreams got crushed this weekend. Some opportunities are absolutely crushed, chances blown by certain teams, and now you're going to get down to, it's funny, man, I really thought, you expand this thing to 12, you have all this realignment, boy, it's going to paint a much clearer picture for all of us. It hasn't. I mean, there's no clearer picture. In fact, it's a little bit more convoluted and a little bit, we're in for some serious debate in college football, which I guess at the end of the day is kind of what you're looking for. You want a little bit of chaos, and I don't know how it's going to shake out. The whole thing gives me tired head. I mean, I'm exhausted. I'm reading tweets going, oh my God, good wins, bad losses, quality losses. You know, it's all adding up right now, and the state of college football is a mess.
But I think it's clear. Cool. It's a lot harder to feel sorry for the team that ends up 13th in the rankings than the one who finished 5th.
Yeah.
When you finish 5th, especially last year, and you go undefeated and you don't get into the playoff, it feels like the system is the problem. If you finish 13th, you were probably the problem. Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe you think you were 12th and another team was 13th, and that's a great debate for sports fans to have and athletic directors and coaches to whine about if they didn't get in.
Yeah.
But ultimately, you had plenty of opportunities in the top 12, and you didn't get Alabama.
No question. And by the way, they're probably going to be there. They're probably going to be there, which is insane to me, but this is what it sparks. It sparks those conversations and that debate, and you know, I think Alabama fans will tell you today, oh yeah, we belong. I know we have 3 losses, but we belong. And it's, all right, let's talk about it. I mean, there's a lot to break down. And so, it's been fascinating. I'm interested to get your take on my favorite football team, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, which, by the way, what did I say at the beginning of the year? I have no expectations.
You did.
0. I'm going to get my 10 wins. And I'm going to be happy.
You've got them
and
now.
And I'll see what happens. I said, this is every single year of my life since 1988. I get my wins, and I'm happy. And let the chips fall where they may, but I want to get your take on them.
We will have our regular features, including Take on Woods, chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. Don't do this in an Italian Paul Frankie report in the 9 o'clock hour. We also have some Seals tickets to give away. We're less than 2 weeks away from me.
We are 1 week away
Oh, I thought it was less than a week. I thought it was December.
It's December 1st. Isn't that this weekend? Next weekend.
That's
No, it is this weekend.
No, it's this weekend.
It is this weekend. Yes. It's already December.
Sunday. Yes.
My goodness gracious, Sunday, yeah. It happened
this
fast.
Sunday.
So we Sunday.
Less than a week away.
Chance to see Woodsy in action. Woo! On the PA mic and the first game of the season. This Sunday. My goodness, the calendar moves quickly. Yeah, I guess it's Thanksgiving week. So here we are. Sunday's season opener. We'll have some tickets to give away to the Seals as well. All coming up. But when we come back, tease it a couple of seconds. We'll give you the breaking news, the The player who signed could have been on the Padres radar, but I'll tell you now, is not going to the San Diego Padres. That is coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
He's got a really nice DM on Instagram from Will King Lewis. Says, my first Monday back from deployment. So pumped to listen to you guys again. I said, hell yeah, man. Welcome back from deployment. Ben said, why don't they let him listen on deployment? I said, I don't know. Probably didn't want him distracted by all of your BS while he's trying to work and, you know, help protect our country.
Not great internet on the ship, possibly.
I don't know where he came, know where he came from, but he came
good
back.
Good timing, back in time for the holidays.
Yeah.
So it's good to have you back. Thank you for your service.
Yes, sir.
And welcome back into the Tier 1 community.
You can watch us on YouTube now, Will. I don't know how long you've been gone, but you can watch us on YouTube and see our ugly mugs and very skinny Italian Paul looking so good and lean and lithe over there.
I can see it being a little distracting when you're in a foxhole and you're listening to you guys taking him to a strip club in Arizona.
Yeah,
I can see that being a little bit of a problem.
Wiener jokes and whatnot and take on Woods.
I mean, if you're just sitting like at the radar control panel,
well,
that must get boring after a few hours, right? Beep, blip, blip, you know. But I guess if you lose your focus for a minute or two and all of a sudden, you know, enemy aircraft show up and you were listening to Ben and Woods, that would probably be dereliction of duty.
You got caught up in a riveting game of real or fake. It just lost your focus.
So Kevin in the chat says, Ben just did what he swears he doesn't ever do. The cliffhanger.
I loved it.
It was a tease. I teased
it.
The player that signed this morning in Major League Baseball that the Padres probably had on their radar. And you know why we do those teases? It's to keep you listening through things like breaks and traffic. And I'll tell you who it was that signed this morning, right? After this check of traffic with Kelly Danick on 97.3 The Fan. There's another one, Kevin. All right, I'm not sure how much longer I can stretch out the fact that Yusei Kikuchi signed with the Los Angeles Angels this morning, Wood. So there's your...
We waited 20 minutes for that.
There's your payoff of your tease. Kikuchi, who was traded to the Astros and pitched really well down the stretch last season, gets to cash in on that nice, really two-month run in Houston with a three-year, $63 million deal with the one team that has been very active already in free agency this offseason. The Angels, you got what? Travis d'Arnaud and Kyle Hendricks.
And
they traded for Jorge Soler.
Yep.
They've been very busy. And a team that, you know, needs to remake their roster probably as much as any in baseball. Now, none of those guys are stars. They're not premium free agents or premium acquisitions. But they have added some solid big leaguers. And maybe sometimes the best strategy when you're kind of going in the wrong direction as an organization is not to get the shiniest object out there, but to actually fortify your roster with a bunch of, you know, solid additions. They may not be all-stars, but they're probably going to help you win a few games here or there. And that's the first step, and what should be a lot of steps that the Angels need to take to get to relevance. But they've made a few first steps by spending about $80 million now already this offseason, which is about $80 million more than anyone else has spent.
That's exactly right. I mean, we talk a lot on this show about general managers, and we have a very interesting one here in A.J. Preller. And what do we always say about him? He tends to zig when others zag, right? And I think that's what Perry Minasian and his team are doing right now in Anaheim is, look, I mean, it's a pretty slow off season as it usually is. And I think they looked at it and said, man, if there's some guys that we can get that we can, you know, again, they're not going to blow anybody's hair back. I think Kikuchi is very solid. It's a lot of money for Kikuchi, but it's kind of what pitchers get paid these days. Kyle Hendricks does not do much for me. Had a really horrible year, maybe on the last legs, but you take a shot on that. And I do love the d'Arnaud move, and I love the Jorge Soler move. They need a power bat and a backup catcher for Logan Ohapi, who's going to really help him. And I think, you know, all in all, man, that's a decent start. I mean, the offseason just started, so that's a really decent start for them. And like you said, man, fortifying your roster with some good big leaguers is not going to be a negative thing for them, I don't think.
JH in the chat says, I thought the Angels would go hard after Snell. Now, this doesn't preclude them
correct
going after any other players, although you can certainly see a universe in which the Angels say, all right, we've done our thing now, and we're just going to let it roll out to next season, and then there won't be much hype. But, you know, they've been busy early in the offseason, and they've got a lot of work to do. They're not like playoff contenders based on the moves that they made already this offseason. They'd have to do a lot more if they wanted to do that, but you can never count them out. You know, the Angels have enough money. Artie Moreno, if he wants to, and he hasn't really shown the indication the last couple of years that he wants to, could spend more, could sign a couple of premium free agents and take another roll of the dice on, you know, putting his roster back together. He's rolled the dice a few times, and it's never worked out well for the Angels so far. Even when they do acquire great players like Shohei Ohtani and they had Mike Trout, it hasn't translated, obviously, into playoff appearances.
Still hard to believe, isn't it?
And then, you know, Pujols and Rendon were, you know, terrible signings.
Yeah, and you know, you don't know. Hunter makes a point in the chat, too, about the health of Mike Trout. You don't know what that's going to look like. Hasn't played a lot in the last few years. It's tough to see, you know, the breakdown of that. And then Anthony Rendon, of course, has been so poor that they have actually started an Anthony Rendon tracker. And you can click on the link, and it will show you how much money he makes per minute that he doesn't play. And it's a pretty staggering number, man. But they have thrown – I did see an article come out, and they have kind of thrown the gauntlet down to him of, like, you gotta figure it out. You got to prove to us that you can play and that you still have a desire to play and play well. You know, again, it's that – I think if you're an Angels fan, you're smoking that copium, telling yourself, well, I mean, look, let's be honest, Benny. If we were the Angels flagship morning show, you know what you would be doing this morning. Well, think about it. If Rendon comes back and Trout's healthy and, you know, now you add these guys, you can talk yourself into a decent season, better than last year.
So the price tag of $21 million per year for 3 years is certainly something to at least keep in mind as the Padres shop around. You know, they reportedly would like to add a couple of starting pitchers this offseason. Kikuchi was toward the top of the list, but not certainly at the top of the list, well below Corbin Burns and Blake Snell, you would think. Yeah. Maybe in that second tier of Nathan Eovaldi, Max Fried sort of level of free agents. I would think Fried would get more than Kikuchi was going to get, which kind of sets the bar for Fried as higher than $21 million a year for 3 seasons, which is starting to get, you know, pretty expensive. I mean, Sean Manaea, is he going to want at least that much if that's what Yusei Kikuchi is getting? I mean, it's setting the bar early here in the offseason for what pitching is going to cost.
Manaea turned down his qualifying offer, which is the exact same AAV as Kikuchi.
21.
So he turned that down. Severino turned that down. There's still a lot of guys out there that are probably looking for a little more security than a one-year deal. Maybe a little less AAV in cases like Severino and Manaea. But still, I mean, $21 million bucks. And he got it for three. He got it 3 years and $63 million. So
Pivetta is another guy who turned down a qualifying offer. So, you know, setting the market kind of early on pitching, something that the Padres are going to need. Now, we never thought pitching was going to be cheap in this offseason, especially if you're going the free agent route. But it also may put a limit on what you're trying to do, depending on a budget that we still don't know what it is, if it exists, what they're trying to do, nor will we ever. As I said, they're never going to come out and tell us what the actual budget is going to be for the San Diego Padres.
Well, you can subtract about $900,000 from it right now, because that is what the Padres spent to bring back Tyler Wade. 1 year deal, avoided arbitration as they usually, or they always do, and bringing back T. Wade at $900,000, which is fine by me. I mean, absolutely fine by me. Played 31 appearances at third base, 15 at second, 13 at short, 12 in left field, 7 in right, and 2 in center field. Stole 8 bags on 9 attempts. Mike Schilt loves him. The clubhouse loves him. $900,000, no-brainer to bring T-Wade back.
Yeah, I mean, if Tyler Wade's playing 120 games, there's a problem.
Yeah, but that's exactly right.
He's a good piece to have on your roster. He clearly is someone that is a
he's beloved.
Big member of the clubhouse.
Oh, Merrill was fired up when they brought him
back.
Yeah,
just being in, even after they lost to the Dodgers, and I was in that locker room in L.A. after the loss, they kind of gravitated toward Tyler Wade. I mean, you don't have to be the best player to necessarily be a huge clubhouse guy. And Tyler Wade became a pretty big clubhouse guy for the San Diego Padres last year. So for $900,000, there's $1 million team option for next year with a $50,000 buyout. There's some incentives in there. If he does end up playing, you know, 150, 200 plate appearances, he can make a little bit more money. Yeah, it seemed like a no-brainer that you bring back Tyler Wade next season. Now, the Padres did, at the non-tender deadline, not offer contracts to Luis Patino,
yep,
coming off Tommy John surgery, so they're not going to pay him the $1 million-plus or whatever he would have been owed on arbitration.
I did read potential for a minor league deal. He is another one that is beyond beloved by A.J. Preller and the organization. You sign him to a really cheap minor league deal, let him do his rehab, you know, with the team that he's probably had the most success with. And if you're going to get him back, you know, you can supervise it and do it your way. So I would expect maybe him to be back on a minor league deal at some point.
Also, three guys who we did see on the big league roster at different points last year were also non-tendered in pitcher Logan Gillespie out of the bullpen, and then Bryce Johnson, who played a fair bit in right field when Fernando Tatis Jr. was injured and got a bunch of starts out there. And then Mason McCoy, who had his week of starting at shortstop until they realized that Hassan wasn't coming back and we better do something other than Mason McCoy. And they moved Xander Bogaerts over there. None of those guys were tendered a contract. All become free agents. You could, as you said, bring them back on minor league deals, but you're not giving them the major league deal for next season.
Correct. Bryce Johnson catches the last out of Dylan Cease's no-hitter. That was probably his claim to fame last season. And
he will forever run in Padres highlights.
100%. For the rest of his life, he will be a fixture in Padres highlights.
I ran it a couple of days ago when Dylan Cease finished fourth in the Cy Young voting. I go, Dylan Cease, finished fourth in the Cy Young voting. Here's the final out of his no-hitter. There's Bryce Johnson catching that ball out in right field.
I almost threw up because I didn't feel like he had a really great break to the ball, and I thought it was going to dunk in, and sure enough, he flashes on screen, makes the catch, and history was made.
As Jay to the J.O. points out, switch hitter.
Right. Switch hitter.
Which we went about
it
2 weeks.
About two months, I think, until we realized he's actually a switch hitter.
He was a switch hitter.
Very dialed in on the games, as
isn't,
you can tell.
Isn't he batting on the wrong side of the plate today? That's weird. I mean, he was always on the other side of the plate. Now he's just switched over. That's odd. How did that happen?
I mean, look, this was kind of your very first tiny little domino to fall. And, you know, you do get the sense, too, that it's kind of a stability move, right? To bring back Tyler Wade, who wasn't, I wouldn't say he was integral to the success of the Padres. He did have some big moments. He was an irritant at times. He would lay down a really good bunt, or he would get a guy over. He did some good things last year, and enough good things to let everybody know, yeah, man, we want this guy here. He was more productive than an Austin Hedges was when he was here. It felt, even though Austin's a really good defensive catcher, you know, Tyler Wade was also the cheerleader. But I feel like he was involved in every single comeback win some way, somehow. And again, the ability to play five different positions is pretty valuable for $900,000.
He contributed beyond his numbers.
Big time.
His numbers were about the same as, you know, Bryce Johnson or Mason McCoy, but he seemed to contribute beyond those numbers a little bit, which, you know, gave him the edge in coming back.
Yep.
Everyone else that you would expect that was arbitration eligible was tendered a contract. They didn't agree on terms with any of them. So guys like Dylan Cease, Luis Arraez, who are going to make eight figures next year, somewhere north of $10 million. You know, a bunch of other guys who are arbitration eligible. A.J. Preller will almost certainly come to an agreement with their agents before they go to arbitration. And doesn't happen until late February when spring training is underway.
Okay. So they got some time.
So they have some time to work it out. And they almost always do. The Padres will generally give a slightly more player-friendly deal just to make sure that they don't have to go into that arbitration hearing room and make a case against their own players, which is, as we've seen with organizations like the Milwaukee Brewers, creates hard feelings. It's not something that A.J. Preller ever wants to do. He loves his players. He does not want to point out all the reasons why they're not worth the money. So they just pay a little bit more to make sure that they don't have to do that.
Yeah, I mean, if they want you here, they're going to bring you back here. That's one thing you can know when you come and you have an arm hanging over your head for the San Diego Padres. You're probably not going to get there. And if they want you, they'll bring you back.
I always wondered, because if an agent with one of those players really wants to play hardball, you know, they They submit a number. The Padres submit a number if it really goes to arbitration. And if the agent knows that AJ doesn't want to do it, he goes, our number's our number, and we're just going to hold out and either force AJ to finally go to arbitration or completely give him everything that he asked for going into it. We've never seen that. You know, we see the numbers come in the middle somewhere, usually a little leaning toward the player. But I wonder if an agent ever thought, oh, let's test AJ and see how badly he doesn't want to go to arbitration. At some point, AJ's going to have to, I would think.
Who were some of the names? Did you say there was a couple of surprise names out there that were
We can get to it a little bit. But the Colorado Rockies, for one team, Brendan Rodgers was a player who was a 4.4 WAR player in 2022 who was not tendered a contract and became a free agent.
On what planet? And again, a guy that a lot of teams called about at the deadline, and they refused to move Brendan Rodgers. And Cal Quantrill was another name that was non-tendered that got phone calls at the deadline.
The answer to your question is Planet Rockies.
What in the world are they doing?
So the way I understand it is because he was so good in 2022, his arbitration number keeps going higher, and they're going like, oh, we don't want to pay that much in arbitration for a guy who hasn't performed the last couple of seasons.
Trade them both.
He's out there and available. So is Cal Quantrill.
Kyle Finnegan, the Nats closer. Yeah, there's some names out there.
Yeah,
all
there's
right.
some reasons for it.
I like
all right,
it.
We will get into a little college football and take on Woods when we come back here on 97.3 The Fan.